thank the Lord. The Lord gave me that psalm before I come up to the pulpit, but I thank the Lord for that verse there, that we are under the blood of Jesus, saved from the power of sin. We just want to thank the Lord tonight for being free from sin. And thank the Lord that He can cause every one of us to triumph over sin all of our life. We do not have to fail. We do not have to sin. But Jesus shed His blood for us to be more than a conqueror. Thank the Lord for that. We want to read, this has been so inspired to me. We want to share it with you tonight. We have some other scriptures too, but the scripture there, which is very familiar in St. John 3:16, but it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." When this scripture is here, we want to thank the Lord for His love and mercy, that He came that we could be saved from sin, and that He didn't come to just condemn people per se, but He condemned sin in their lives. He condemned that. He wants to forgive sinners. He came not to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners to repentance. I was just thinking the other day how that sometimes I observe people in the world, what we might say that's not among the saints, but just sinners or people that may be saved. But, you know, in the general rule, we know that there's sin in people's lives and there's wicked people. But as a general rule, God created pretty nice people. You know what I mean? That I found that there's nice people that's not even among the saints. Very kind-hearted people. But still, that's not going to save people. They must be born again. And it seemed like that there's some that goes in deeper sin than others. And but whatever state a person finds herself in, Jesus came to set the captive free. The vilest sinner can be saved from sin, and that is what's so wonderful. Remember, years ago I would read some about the Chicago Mission, and there was how that these people were really on skid row, and they were real in deep in sin, alcoholics, and maybe years ago it wasn't so much drugs like it is today, but they would find themselves and very, maybe without a home, without a family. Maybe they left their family and they were living on the streets. You know, really sin had just done a hard task on them. But, you know, this one man, he went to the Chicago Mission, and this story just always stayed with me. It was so sweet, but, they were singing the song and the hymn, "In the Shadows, You'll Find Jesus," and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. And most of the time, these people would go there to have the little religious service so they could have supper and have somewhere to lay their head that night, a clean bed instead of the street. They really didn't come there to really find Jesus. They just had to go through that. That was part of the requirement. They had to go to this religious service to be able to get supper and a clean bed. But this man went there. You know, I was just thinking about the power of hymns, how the Lord will use hymns to deal with people. And also the Lord will use hymns to touch our hearts. Many times in the middle of the night, the Lord can give us a song in the night or something like that. But the Lord works through songs. And, you know, this man later He was still deep in sin, but the Lord was working with him. The Lord wanted to save him, and the Lord did. But he was in the alley, and this man was coming along, and I think he had a broken liquor bottle or something. And, you know, we would think of that person as really deep in sin. But this man that was walking along, he thought when he come along, he would hit this man in the head, and he would take his wallet and get his money. That was his plans. But there was a shadow there, and as this man was coming, he could hear the footsteps. He also seen the shadow and of some, you know, shadow there, and the Lord brought that song back to him. In the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. And he thought, oh, and the Lord started dealing with him right there to get saved. And he said, Jesus, he wanted to be saved right there. And he said, I don't want to live this kind of life. He threw down the bottle and he stepped out and he shook that man's hand. And he shook that man's hand and he was different. He went back to the Chicago mission and he started living for the Lord. And you know, that was wonderful. We've read other stories how the people in hotels, you know, they have these Gideon Bibles and how motels, and the Lord has worked through that sometime. Somebody would just be down and out. And I remember one story about a man, he had left his family and now he was in another state and he got that Bible and started reading the words of life that we sang, and the Lord convicted his heart and he got saved and he went back to his family. You know, there's power in the blood of Jesus, and we must all, you know, sometimes we think, I know the Lord just really inspired me to teach about the being free from sin. And I know sometimes we think, well, we're preaching to mostly saints here, or maybe all saints here. I don't know, you know, and you think, but you know, dear ones, we need it ourselves because we need to praise the Lord. We need to praise the Lord for being free from sin. And, you know, and we need to be so encouraged that the Lord can help us to live holy and pure and righteous and godly and be everything he wants us to be. Because he's got great power. His blood is more powerful. I was thinking there, as I was sitting there, I thought, you know, the Lord, your blood is more powerful than any power in this world. You know, we hear about these bombs and we hear about the wars and all this power and these guns, they're powerful and all these things, but they're not a match for the power of Jesus. His blood is so powerful that it washes a sinner clean and keeps him safe for many, many years. That's a wonderful power. That's the greatest power that we've tapped into. I was just using the word tap. That's maybe too low to say it that way, but that we have found the blood of Jesus. It's extolled, it's holy, it's pure, it's godly, it's wonderful. If the Lord has saved you from sin, you have so much to rejoice about. You have so much to praise the Lord, because it is not you, it is the gift of God. And you know, I know we can be saved many years, but we must praise the Lord for this great power that he's given us, because it is not ourselves, it is the Lord. It is the Lord that's helped us to stay saved. And I love the scripture. It says that everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, that's the way the saints are. They want to come to the light. They want the Lord to work with them. They want the Lord to help them, because that's safety there, is to come to the light of God. You know, I just thank the Lord for that. He is so wonderful. I like to read in Romans, the 6th chapter. You know, we may come across this doctrine that says, well, we have to sin more or less every day, that we don't have the power to keep free from sin or something like that. But this scripture is here in Romans 6. If you just remember that, you could talk to somebody if they would listen to you and be calm and sweet about it. But it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, we sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? The amazing grace. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was the amazing grace. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You know, that's very, very plain. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If we're dead to sin, we don't live in sin. We don't have sin in our lives. So, and God, we live holy, pure, righteous, godly lives. There's no sin there. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, a new life, a holy life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let us thank the Lord tonight for living free from sin. Wonderful thing. And it says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You know, when we're baptized, we're going to that watery grave and we're just telling the world we're already saved, but we're going into that watery grave. And it's a witness that I'm dead to sin. I'm buried with Christ. And I'm going to come up in his resurrection as he rose from the grave. I'm coming out of that water grave. I have a new life now. And I'm telling the world, it's a witness to the world and to myself that I'm no longer in that person. I'm dead to sin. I'm buried. It's buried. It's over. I'm living a new life. That's what it is. We live a new life. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We know the Lord wants us to yield to him, yield to his righteousness. Yield to the past that would lead us to heaven. Yield to that. He doesn't want us to yield anything to the enemy. He wants us to run for our lives. So we want to go to heaven, then we must do the things that lead there. You know, it's not, it's wonderful to go to service, but we need more than that. We need to be born again. We need to be holy and pure and righteous and godly and have a relationship with our personal Savior, to know Jesus and him know us and talk to him every day and pray. You know, prayer is very, very important for us to pray, because if we do not pray, we're neglecting, and we're saying that we can live this life without God, so we don't need to pray. But we do need to pray. We need to be dependent upon Jesus. We need to not be so independent of God. We need to know we need the Lord. We need his righteousness. We need his holiness. We need his mind. We need his help. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Why did the Lord say that? To watch and pray. Watch, because the devil is that roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But it says, if you resist him steadfast in the faith, see, this is what we have to do, then the Lord will come and help us. If we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. And it goes on to say, for sin shall not, this verse is a very strong verse. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You know, I love the song that we sing. It says, by thy blessed word obeying, Lord, we prove our love sincere. For we hear thee gently saying, love will do as well as hear. You know, it's a wonderful thing to hear messages, a wonderful thing to hear the word of God, but we must obey it. We must do it. Do what the Lord tells us to do. Obey him. Obedience. This is a wonderful thing. It says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to him whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? One day we were sinners. We were unrighteous. We didn't live for the Lord. But the Lord came and saved our soul from sin. And we were born again. And we left that old sinful life. And we began to do everything we could do to please the Lord. And we continued in that. And when we do that, we became a servant of righteousness now. We're a different person. We're not serving sin. And we don't go the places where the world goes. We don't want to do what the world does. We have no desire to do that. We don't want anything to do with evil. We just abhor that evil. But we want to please the Lord every day in our lives. And the Lord wants to help us. And he's got great power to help us. Isn't that wonderful? And then, if we can, through our life, we can help others find the way. Find the way. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to do. It says here, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. That's what you get paid back. You get those kind of wages. If you live in sin, you'll get wages that's terrible. That'll ruin you. That'll hurt you. And you know, the devil's just out to hurt us. He doesn't want to do anything else but hurt us and destroy us. But Jesus came to save us and give us power over sin. And help us to live righteous and have happiness and love and godliness and blessings galore. The Lord wants to give that to us in this life. And in heaven, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, the Lord is, you know, you might think, oh, well, why would we want to be saved from sin? There's lots of reasons we want to be saved from sin and be free from sin. Because it's the very best way in this life. It's the very best choice. And I think in our daily life that we make different decisions. Daily we make different decisions. But the most important decision that we'll ever make is be sincere about your soul. To live free from sin. To get saved and be born again. It says you cannot see the kingdom of God without being born again. Be really saved. No, for sure. I remember in Oklahoma City, Sister Souders, they would sit up there in front when we first moved from Michigan, but they would sing different songs, and that was one of their favorite songs. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. I remember that. I can just about see them in my memory, but it was so precious. We were young, but you know, we love the saints, we love the Lord, but it was so precious to hear the saints sing that. But God wants us to be very sure our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We've seen the picture about the woman, and the waves are just going and the storm is raging and there's a rock and she's clinging to that. She's gripping the solid rock. You know, that's what we can do in life. We can grip that rock. That rock is Christ Jesus. And he is so powerful. He can help us overcome anything and have the victory and go forth and be free from sin and be holy and righteous and godly and live a good life in this present world. It doesn't really, we don't like the evil that's in this world. We abhor the evil that's in the world. But you know what? We are living here. We're living here for a time. And it's around us to a certain extent. But praise God, it's not around us very much. Because because most of the time we're in the, you know, with the saints or in meetings and things like that. But sometimes we have to go out there, even grocery shopping or whatever. You see the sin. You see the world. You see... But you know, it's wonderful that you don't have to be tainted by those things. That Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that you not take them out of this world, but that you would keep them from the evil that's in the world. Every day, the Lord keeps us. Isn't that wonderful? He keeps us, saints. It's His power. It's His blood. And you know what? We just had Easter not very long ago, and it just thrills me when I think about Jesus died on the cross to set us free. It doesn't thrill me that he had to suffer, but it thrills me that he loved us enough to do that for us. And not only that, but he resurrected that third day. He came out of that grave. That's a miracle. That's unusual. I mean, that's something impossible with us. If we died in 3 days, we couldn't come out of the grave unless Jesus did it for us. That's the only way we're going to come out. When we die, that's the only way we're going to be resurrected, is have this power in us, be saved and be sanctified. That's the only way we're going to be able to conquer death, is to come out of that grave, is be holy when we die. Holy, holy, holy. That's the only way you're going to conquer that monster of death, is to be right with God, and then you will resurrect. But we need the power of Jesus to be able to do it. We don't have it in ourselves, but we have it because Jesus gave it to us. Praise God. He gave us that power. Oh, I thank the Lord tonight for his great love. Oh, I just praise him. You know, I want to turn to Ezekiel in the 18th chapter. You know, I was just thinking about it. Lord, help me. You know, when we get saved, this should be our prayer. Lord, keep me saved. Lord, keep me holy. Keep me in your service. Lord, keep me. I can't do this by myself, but I'm asking you, Lord. I'm asking you to help me. You know, the Lord, he can help us, dear ones. He can help us to be everything God wants you to be. In the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, in the 20th verse, we want to read a little bit here. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. In other words, you're not responsible for others per se, but you are responsible before God for your own soul. We have responsibilities for others to a certain extent. But between us and God, we're responsible for our own soul. You know, Moses and the children of Israel, he loved them so much. And they did wrong. And he said, Lord, just blot me out of your book. Don't destroy them, just blot me out. The Lord said, no, I'm not going to do that. If you're righteous, you're gonna reap righteousness. You're gonna reap mercy. He said, everybody's gotta be responsible for their self. This way it is. And you know, this is what the Lord means here. If the wicked will turn from all his sins, all of them that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. But all his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? ? Saith the Lord God. And not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. So, you know, we could be saved for many years, but if we turn our back on the Lord and we decide we don't want to be righteous no more, we want to sin, then we're going to, however we fall before God, that's the way it is going to be. He's not going to remember the many years that you were righteous, you were holy, you were godly. This has happened to people. They've lived for the Lord many years, but that let something trip them up and they started sinning. Well, if they die that way, God's going to judge them just like that. That's why it's so important for us to keep encouraged, keep faithful to the Lord, keep pressing forward. The enemy will come different ways, but dear ones, keep faithful to the Lord. Keep your salvation. It's the most important thing that you ever found. You know that it says that there was a treasure hid in the field, and he rejoiced when he found it. You know, it's a pearl of great price. It's something that's the most important thing that you ever found. And you want to keep that pearl in your heart no matter what, because that's the most important thing. And it said, yet ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. But again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is equal. He's fair. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. There wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Praise God. You know, the Lord wants us to be holy and be pure and be godly and be everything he wants us to be. We want to read Matthew 9 and 13. Oh, the Lord has got a wonderful salvation for us. I praise him today. 9 and 13, it says here, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What it was the Pharisees saw Jesus eating with sinners. And they said, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, we need to be very careful that we don't, how I can say this, we're in this world, we're not of it. And there's times that we are around sinners. But dear ones, we do not ever want to have a spirit of a Pharisee, or that, you know, we must remember. It seemed like the Lord brought this to me this way, that we sometimes forget that we look different. We sometimes forget that we are different than the world. We know we are, but we've been saved for so many years that we don't realize that the reaction toward us, but I'll say it that way. But you know, we have to be maybe extra sweet or extra nice to them, because they may feel like we think we're better than them because we're righteous. I remember I went into a school to pick up one of my granddaughters, and before, as I was walking in the office, I didn't know any of these ladies, but Tammy wasn't feeling well. She sent me to pick up one of my granddaughters, and as I was walking in there, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to appear to them very different. I want you to put a big smile on your face and be really, really sweet. And it was that I don't want to be sweet, but I don't smile. But maybe you're thinking about something. You know, you got a burden on your heart, and you really don't you're not in that moment maybe like you should be. But so I tried that. I just tried to be really happy and really sweet. But the Lord spoke to me that way. So we know we're dealing with sinners. But Jesus ate with them. He treated them nice. He treated them kind. Wherever we might be, dear ones. I remember one time I was at a McDonald's and it seemed like I think it was a bus of people stopped and they were all crowding in. And I just wanted to get me an ice cream cone that day. And it seemed like they was all crowding in, getting their orders. But I just really wanted that ice cream cone. So I just stood there and was patient, waiting. And so finally when I got to my turn, they said, "What do you want?" I said, "Oh, I just want an ice cream cone." And they said, "Well, here, ma'am, you just take this ice cream cone free." Said, "You've been standing there waiting, you just take it free." I said, "Oh, my," I was so kind of surprised, you know. But I went out, I was really happy. I thought, you know, that was really sweet, them treating me like that. I remember reading not long ago, it says, pass on kindnesses like that. You know, I read in this little book, it said, you know, we can make everybody's life happier if we would pass on some kindness. I'm talking about passing it on to the world. And, you know, as we go through these toll booths, you know, we might pay a couple dollars or whatever. But you ever think about, they said, pay the car behind you, pay their toll. And you don't know who these people are at all. They're maybe never even say hi to them, but pay their toll. Then when they come up to the window to pay their toll, well, that car in front of you paid your toll. It said it just makes them so happy. It just thrills them when they get someone treating them good that didn't even know them. But you know, the Lord said, you're lights in this world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. But you know, the Lord, if we're that way, Jesus, he ate with those sinners and publicans because he wanted to help them get saved. You know, we can't always be together. We love this. We love being in the camp meetings, seeing one another and getting that encouragement. That's really wonderful. That's something we must do. That's part of our life. But the times that God sends us out, dear ones, be like Jesus. When you find yourself with the sinners, just show them lots of love. Show them lots of love because Jesus might talk to them. They might not get saved that day, right that moment, but you know, your life may touch their heart, and maybe later on they might get saved. Oh, but Lord, he said, they were condemning him for doing that, but you know, we have to go out into the world sometimes. And we have to help others. We want them to be free from sin. We want to help them to be free from sin. Praise God. I was thinking about this. Scripture came to me before I came to service. In St. John 8, you probably know what I'm going to talk about. But this little woman that was caught in adultery, you know, Jesus said, go and sin no more. And that's what he's saying to anybody that gets saved. He wants you to go and sin no more. He never wants you to sin again. You don't ever have to sin again. How can it be that you can live 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, maybe some here have been 50 years free from sin? It is possible. It is true. It's because of the blood of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? But this woman that came, you know, in the 8th chapter of St. John, it says, they said they wanted to stone her. You know, under the law, it says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. You know, Jesus came to show mercy and grace. But they're going to tempt him because, you know, under the law, now she's supposed to be stoned. But what are you going to do now, Jesus? What are you going to do now? But you know one thing special about Jesus? He knew all their lives. He knew everything about those men. He knew everything about them. And I know, you know, that somewhere there was a man that was involved in this, but I don't know where he was. He should have been stoned too if they wanted to stone her. But you know, it says here, Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. What did he write on the ground? We don't know. But he wrote things maybe like thief or, you know, murderer. Who knows what he wrote? He knew those men. He was Jesus. He knew their lives. They needed to be stoned, maybe. Maybe they were evil. Maybe they had, even had committed adultery. But yet they wanted to kill her. But it says here, he wrote it down, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, he didn't mean that he didn't condemn her sin, but he meant he was forgiving her. He was forgiving her. And I'm not going to let you, you're not going to have to be stoned to death. I'm going to forgive you, but go and sin no more. You know, I think forgiveness is the sweetest thing. You know, and it's because Jesus forgives us, we need to forgive one another. We must forgive one another and love one another because Jesus forgives us. And we need that love that Jesus has. He wants to put that in our heart. You know, Jesus loved people. He loved that woman. You know, he was the Lamb of God. I want to read over here in 1 Peter. You know, Jesus is so sweet. He's so loving. He's so merciful. Yet he's the one that died for us. You know, he paid it all for us that we could be saved. And it says here in 1 Peter 1:18, it says, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, thank the Lord today that Jesus, he was without spot. He didn't have. He lived in this world free from sin. He was righteous. He was holy. He talked to his Father God daily. He lived for the Lord. It said he was tempted as in all points, yet without sin. He had no sin. He was the perfect lamb. In the Old Testament, they had to take these lambs and kill them for a sacrifice, you know, daily, trying to help themselves. But, you know, Jesus once for all died on that cross to take care of people years later, to take care of us. We were saved on down the road, weren't we? Many years down the road, we were born, but Jesus' blood was for us. Isn't that wonderful? And any of these new babies being born today, his blood's for them. He paid it once and for all. He was so perfect. He was holy. He was the Son of God. And that power, being free from sin, that great power, praise the Lord. 1 John 1:5-10. Oh, I think there's many more scriptures. You want to read some of them? There's many, many scriptures, but 1 John 1:5, it says, This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's not one sin in our lives. Cleansed from all sin through the blood of Jesus. It says, if we say that we have no sin, or this is talking past tense, if we say that we had not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you take the next verse, it says, But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So isn't that wonderful that the Lord, he gives us the power to live free from sin. And over here in 2, the same 1 John 2, it says, My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. It's a pretty high calling, isn't it? But you know, with the Lord's blood, we can do that. We want to maybe sometime sing that song when we sit down, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I believe it's in that book, the blue book. But anyway, that's a beautiful song about God's holiness. Over here in Revelation 20 and 12 says, And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You know, people that were shipwrecked, Titanic, or people that were killed in the sea, they're going to be coming back out. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's very plain, and we don't want to go there. But Revelation 22 and 12 through 14, we don't have to go there because Jesus made the way. Praise God. 22 and 12, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. I wanted to end it on a happy, happy note, happy scripture, that we can have the tree of life. We can have the tree of life. It says here, blessed, we're blessed people tonight. If you're living free from sin, you're blessed to God. You're precious to God. I think about that scripture. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We're precious to God, and he's precious to us. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. We want to go to heaven. We want to make heaven our home, dear ones, and we want to be faithful to the Lord. Anything that you're struggling with, Jesus can give you the victory. You don't have to sin at all. God is, all his scriptures we read, and there's many more, that we do live free from sin, and God has got that power to give us the victory over everything. Praise the Lord.